Hey everybody, it's the Nobody Likes Casey McClain podcast. First episode in a long, long time. Is it the first episode since we... No, it's not the first episode since we had our daughter, is it? I don't think so. Maybe. Because... Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is the first episode. If it isn't, I don't care. I'm not going to go find it right now. I have a daughter. I have a new daughter. A real problem, this kid, I tell you. She's actually feet away from me right now, hopefully staying asleep so I can continue to record this. And, my wife and I are adjusting to being parents of two children. And I'm not going to tell you that it's going badly. I'm not going to say that because... my new daughter might listen to this one day, but I will tell you that I wouldn't even say that having two kids is a struggle. Like, our first daughter is doing, she's a fucking soldier about this. Like, she doesn't complain. She tries to help with stuff when she can. She's gentle. She loves her sister despite getting no feedback She's got the same plight as us, where we get no feedback from this kid, but she understands it less. She's 4 years old, and she just, you know, trudges along. Just turned four. And so, anyway, I haven't recorded a podcast in a long time, and I recorded one a little while back that went a little more political than I wanted to, I should say, and I regretted it and didn't put it out. So, I don't remember what the last one... I don't know where we left off, folks, but what I do know is that I want to talk about this song that I've found pretty frustrating, the response to it. Before we get into that though, could you please come see me do stand-up comedy at some point, for the love of God? Next weekend, this Sunday, I might be losing ground on this. This sleeping child. This is the thing. The moment this kid starts to squeak or make any noise, it's all downhill. There's no self-soothing on this kid. She just freaks out, loses her mind, starts. I just fed the kid more milk than the kid should be able to hold. Okay, and she's squeaking, and I feel like it's going to go downhill. And now I'm completely disconnected from the podcast. I'm focused on hearing this kid make squeaking sounds, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Does it sound like a full-on meltdown? I don't think it's a full-on meltdown. But anyway, I'm doing a fucking show at a place in Port Orchard, and I can't remember the name of the venue because I slept an hour and a half last night. I will be on Sunday, if you're listening to this, when it comes out, I will be at... Everybody's American Cookhouse and Sports Theater in Port Orchard, which actually is a place that is pretty much fucking perfect for, see, if you can't hear it, there's a meltdown about to occur, and it's not me. I'm going to have to go soothe this kid, and it's going to be, I got to figure it out a pot. I'm doing a new thing so we can listen to the music together on this song. Hold on, pause. Speaking of pause, since I've allowed this child to completely derail the podcast, two things. We've given a lot of grace on this, like, pop culture slang term, pause. Pause meaning basically like whatever you said sounds gay. That's what pause means. I will say, comedian Sam J, she had a show called Pause on HBO. Maybe she still has it. I don't know. I never watched it, but it's the perfect, she's a lesbian woman, perfect name for a hip hop appreciating lesbian to have for their TV show. Perfect name. But otherwise, I think we've given a lot of grace. Oh boy. By the way, this kid is going to fucking, I'm derailed 4 minutes. I got 4 minutes of podcasting in. You understand that? And I can hear it's falling apart again. It's falling apart feet away from me. Anyways, I will say, I think pause is fun as a joke. I don't use it because I am desperately scared of being considered homophobic. I did not ever like, one thing I never liked is the when people would say no homo. This is really going off the rails. I have a joke where I talk about being like approached in a grocery store by an attractive woman and then later being approached by an attractive man. Okay, fine. Pause. Jesus. All right, unpause once again. God damn it, this kid. I tell you, there's this thing that you'll get advice. Everyone gives you advice as a parent, but one of the things I've seen is they'll say, if you're struggling, put the kid, it's okay to step away. It's okay to step away for a little bit, okay? Your mental health is important. And when you're a new parent, you're like, well, that shit's just for bad parents. That's not for me. And I did it the other day, and I thought I would feel horrible putting my daughter, I put her in her, oh wait, did I hear another fucking, don't do it, kid. I put her in her bassinet and closed the door. Oh my God. I put her in her bassinet. God damn it, kid. I put her in her, this is the thing. This is what I'm saying. I put her in her bassinet in the bedroom, camera on her, walked away, thought I'd feel bad, felt nothing. And I'm about to do it again because she's fucking driving me crazy right now. And she's just no self-soothing, this kid. All right, unpause once again. My God, this kid. Okay. So to get back, I'm literally three pauses in. I'm less than 7 minutes into this podcast at this point. So I have a joke where I talk about a man approaching me. When I first wrote the joke, I would say, I'm not gay, but I'll take flattery from anyone giving it. There's a little more to the joke than that. And I changed it because earlier in the joke, I talk about being approached by a woman. My wife and I have a friend who is bisexual. We were talking to him and he told me a thing that basically I don't know. It's like bisexual erasure or some shit. Anyways, my point is I evolved and now I say bisexual. And then I posted that joke on TikTok and I was praised for saying bisexual instead of gay. So thank you to that person who validated my very slight evolution. And I don't give a shit. Like, most of that stuff is completely, you know, it's like I don't put my pronouns in my bio and all that shit, but I don't care if other people do, and I'll use the respectful pronouns for any person. Quit being a fucking baby about it, everybody. But, so anyway, I listened to this song, Rich Men North of Richmond. And I'm so embarrassed as like a liberal leaning person at the reaction to shit like this, because basically it's just the fact that conservatives like this song that is driving the hatred for this guy. This dude, Oliver Anthony. And he's got this song, Richmond, North Richmond. I want to play it completely one time since we're on fucking iTunes or Spotify or whatever. I don't think it's going to get knocked off. If this was on YouTube, we'd probably get struck or whatever. But I just want to play it one time and then I'm going to talk about the lyrics because it's like, to me, oh my God, this kid! All right, unpause. I got to tell you, it feels like I'm on the verge of scrapping this episode because I'm less than 10 minutes in. I've spent more than 10 minutes dealing with this child. So many stops. This is what I'm saying. If you're considering having kids and you're on the fence, don't fucking do it. I mean, I love them, but Jesus Christ. So yeah, this is just, it's frustrating to me, this kind of stuff, because this dude, Oliver Anthony, has this song that let's just listen to the whole song. I'm going to listen to the whole song all the way through, maybe, because this kid just dropped her pacifier once again. My fucking God. All right, unpause. I hope this podcast doesn't get used against me in the court of law at some point, because that would be quite unfortunate. We're going to try to listen to this song. We need 3 minutes uninterrupted, and that's going to be difficult. That's been a difficult task to this point. Once, if we can get through the fucking song, you're going to hear a hiccup in the back. My kid's hiccuping, too. She's like, oh, my God. Come on, kid. All right, let's try.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. 'Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the obese milking welfare. But God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, 'cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. But I know that you do, 'cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end, 'cause the rich men, north of Richmond. I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.
All right, so that's the song, and luckily my daughter was at bay that entire time, which is nice, because I didn't want to have to edit around that song and try to play it multiple times. So I can freak out again on her in a little bit if she ruins it, but I'm going to go through the entire lyrics. One thing I will say about that song, and it's been pretty common, like that Jason Aldean song that people got mad about, was, I think, pretty obviously, like, so an interesting thing to me is, okay, all right, kid, relax. Okay, we're going to pause. I think it might be a brief pause. It is possible that me screaming into a microphone is not the most settling experience for this kid. Anyway, so let's get the actual lyrics here, because, oh boy. Come on. So an interesting genre of YouTube video that I can't decide if it's actually representative or not is black people watching country music songs for the first time. One of my favorite, my number one genre of music is hip hop. I love hip hop, but probably my next favorite is country music. I grew up, my mom listened to country music when I was growing up. And I've you know, the like 90s and early 2000s, like arena country is not my shit. The shit that like Bo Burnham made fun of is, by the way, that's the shit my mom likes. That's the stuff I grew up listening to. So it's not like I grew up listening to Johnny Cash and fucking Waylon Jennings and nothing that's, but I, I do like, I think that those two genres of music are the only places where, like, the real artists are telling real stories now, where it's somewhat frequent for the singer to be the songwriter. And, also, like, I just like them the best. I like, hip-hop's my favorite since I was a kid. And, you know, so Chris Stapleton is one of my favorite country artists, and there's a whole genre of videos that's, like, black people watching Chris Stapleton for the first time. And, oh, come on. Come on. Get it together, kid. And when the Jason Aldean Try That in a Small Town video became controversial, apparently the song came out in May, but when the video came out, it was filmed at the site of a famous lynching. Also, apparently there's like a Hannah Montana episode filmed there. Like, it's a frequent place. It's a place that people frequently film at. It's not just used as a racist dog whistle, as is being suggested. But it also had imagery that was, like, obviously very partisan protest imagery. I don't know what CMT thinks the politics of their customers are, of their viewers are. I have to assume they skew more conservative. It seems like a suicidal move to do that, to pull this video down. But when you listen to the lyrics of the song, after all the controversy, I went and heard that song, because Jason Aldean for me is like one of these kind of arena pop country singers that I'm not into that at all. So after all the controversy, I was like, what? This has to be like the lyrics have to be crazy. And I could very easily see a song being called Try That in a Small Town having crazy lyrics. Come on, kid. Keep it together. Keep it together. Come on, baby. You can do it. Just fall asleep. All right. So someone sent me this song, this Richmond, North of Richmond song. And I think, like, one of the things that, so let's just go through the lyrics. I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay. That is nonpartisan. That is, everybody in America should be able to relate to that. Black, white, Hispanic, whatever, working class people are from all races. They are from all political backgrounds. They are from all religions. And this is where I think, like, first line, that's, if that sounds Republican to you, if I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, if that sounds Republican to you, you have a fucking skewed view of what it means to be an American citizen. Because there are tons of Democrat voters who work dog shit jobs, who work labor jobs. Not dog shit, that's whatever. I mean, work. I've worked them. That's why I have some empathy for this, is I worked in a box factory the whole time I was going to college, and before I was going to college, and after I stopped going to college for a while. I've worked in manufacturing settings and manual labor a lot of my life. And these are not bad people. These are not everyone that works in those jobs is a Republican. It's actually diverse. It is actually diverse in those places. And if you think I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay is some sort of racist dog whistle or means Republican, I think that you perhaps live in a bubble of people who are fucking educated and elite, and you gotta examine your fucking biases. So then, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. Oliver Anthony apparently is a recovering addict, I think. Pretty common problem among, by the way, again, working class people of all races and creeds. Then the chorus, or pre-chorus, I guess. This is what I don't know. I don't know music well enough to... It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me and people like you. I wish I could wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. So this, again, we're like, no mention of politics to this point. Not even taking a side. In fact, and we're going to go into this in a little bit because Oliver Anthony has some songs on his Instagram that predate this like rise to fame that are, I think, by the way, like exactly how I feel. I'm going to take some issue with some songs or with some lyrics in this specific song, despite the fact that I think the reaction to it has been completely overblown and insane. Oh, the kid is doing so good right now, and she looks insane. But yeah, I mean, is being unhappy with the way this country and this world is going, is that a partisan thing? Just because the guy that you like is in office, or you liked, probably not even didn't like, you probably just liked him more than the other guy, but that has to be a partisan thing? So he says, living in a new world with an old soul, these rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows, they all just want to have total control. This is like exactly, by the way, if you have any desire for like a third party candidate or for, let's say, if you have any desire for a more equitable tax system, if you have any desire for universal health care, all these things that are controlled and administered by bought and paid for politicians. On both sides, by the way. That's not partisan. Again, if you think that the like good liberal way to be is to just accept the government fucking you, I don't think you're right. I think you're wrong. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, because your dollar ain't shit and it's taxed to no end. Because the rich men north of Richmond. So this is where I think this is the first even hint at a conservative idea, which is like kind of anti-tax. But inflation is real. And it's not just, by the way, like 2023 inflation is like, there's been a lot of spending by both parties in the past. That's all. It's everybody. This isn't a fucking... To me, that's like barely partisan, although probably leans a little bit. And the tax thing is like, I don't know, hedging towards libertarian, I guess. Small L libertarian, not the insane libertarian party that exists today. And then the next verse is, I wish politicians would look out for minors and not just minors on an island somewhere. So I've seen some of these reaction videos, which, by the way, there's, again, I don't know if these people are being propped up in the algorithm because they're like the unexpected source. The way that like black conservatives get used to, I don't know if these are black conservatives that are reacting to this video, but I've seen in some of these reaction videos, this gets perceived as like an isolationist thing. And I think it's pretty obviously a reference to Epstein Island. And again, if you think that Epstein Island, mentioning Epstein Island, is a Republican thing, I think you fucking are projecting. Literally Bill Clinton and Donald Trump both spent a lot of time on Epstein Island. To me, Epstein is a straight up capitalist. He's dead of, you know, honorable ritual suicide. Obviously, we all agree on that. It's like this is like a projection of some sort of like defense and bias you've been doing against this really awful thing on Epstein Island that I don't think, by the way, is just liberals to blame or just conservative. I guess we could look at the, I don't want to look at the flight logs, folks. We don't need to go through this, but there's blood on both parties' hands on this. And then, so it says, Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the obese milk and welfare. And this is actually the first lyric that I would have a problem with. It doesn't make me offended by the song overall, but to me it feels like we've got a song that's got otherwise like a message that I agree with pretty strongly. And there's just like, I was a high school libertarian, which is, but again, it's like, I'm like a, politically I would say, it's a complicated answer, a very annoying answer. I think I'm an ethical utilitarian, small L libertarian, classical liberal. And so to me, all those things mean that the first thing that matters to me is it a net good for society? And to me, though I think that for sure there's probably people exploiting welfare. Okay, kid. Hold on. We're going to pause real quick because it's going to be real bad if I'm screaming in my house about welfare. Hold on. Pause. Okay. So, what I'd say is that I think that even with people attempting to exploit welfare, successfully exploiting welfare, I think it's a net good for society. And I actually disagree with one of the earliest things that I disagreed with as a high school libertarian was this idea that private charities and donations or whatever can make up for these social programs. I think they can supplement them, but I think that, like, as Americans, as a country, as a United States of America, we owe our, and as the richest country in the world, we owe our people a certain quality of life. And I think that most people are not exploiting these programs. And so, also, the other thing is the kids, the children who are affected by welfare in a positive way, they did nothing. You may want to moralize their parents, and I understand that. Though I disagree with it, I understand it. Those kids did nothing to deserve a worse life. Oh, boy. We got some wiggling, some squeaking. Just, I mean, can you give me an hour, kid? Fall asleep, for the love of God. Next line is, well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. So this is, again, these are the three bars, as folks would say, in this song that I have a bone to pick with. And it's not, by the way, I'm a fat person. I'm not offended as a fat person. My problem with it is it takes this song that, to me, outside of those three lines, is bulletproof. It's bulletproof. It's not mean, and it's certainly not punching down, which is a rule that I don't necessarily abide by, but it's a rule that this dude's going to take criticism on. And we're going to get to it. I've seen stuff. This guy is not a fucking, like, alt-right icon. He's gonna disappoint conservatives unless he gets captured by his audience and becomes a mouthpiece and whatever. But this is mean. It's a mean lyric, and it's unnecessary in this song. I think the point before this is that the government is fucking you, and much of the obesity crisis, the welfare crisis, the food crisis, all that stuff, much of that is on the hands of the government also. So I don't even think that's, like, to me, that seems contradictory to the other parts of it. Next lines, young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground because all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. That, again, not a partisan line. There's a mental health crisis in this country that spans all races. And of course, there's the opioid epidemic And then there, we've seen, you know, different, a variety of drug-related epidemics in impoverished minority neighborhoods. But these things are not exclusive to one race. Nor do I think there's anything in here that suggests that it is. And it's one of these crazy things where, like, suddenly being empathetic to addiction and suicide has become a Republican thing? What the fuck are we doing? So then it says, yeah. So then it repeats the chorus, and then we go to the end. And yeah, so I guess, like, if you take those three lines out, this song is a fucking pro-labor, pro-working class, anti-establishment banger. It's a meaningful and powerful song that to me is bulletproof if you take away those lyrics. And that's the only disappointment I have, is I think those lyrics are completely unnecessary for the song. Could have been replaced. I know that songs have to have whatever amount of fucking lines to be a whatever stanza. Is that the word? But I want to play Oliver Anthony has another song on his Instagram that came out right before this song that I find, you know, very compelling. Let's see. Okay, where are we at? It is. Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, so this is, and he put this on TikTok also, Oliver Anthony Music. And we're going to end on this because this to me is like, again, we're going into, like, this dude is so obviously not a Republican hack. Okay, kid, I got like 5 more minutes. Can you please do it for me? Please. Okay, pause. We gotta binky this kid for the home stretch. Pause. Okay, unpause. Thank you, by the way, for sticking it through if you made it to this point through what has been a herky-jerky way to record a podcast. I really appreciate it. And, okay, so this is Oliver Anthony. He's next to a bonfire with his guitar, filmed on a phone. It seems like it's mic'd up a little better than it looks, but we're going to listen to it because it's pretty goddamn good. Oh, wait, hold on. Come on now. How do I make it so this? I want to get the audio right away.
And Republicans, Democrats, Lord, I swear they're all just full of crap. I ain't never seen a good and city slicking bureaucrat.
Amen.
There's a little town somewhere. Only thing you hear at night, that old mill coming. Only time traffic backs up is when that old sweet North Southern train's coming. With me and a dog, hold on in. Just me and a dog, hold on in. Well, my head's been hurting, my back's been aching. The water's drying up and there's a war in the making. People eating bugs cause they won't eat bacon. Doggone it.
Doggone it.
All right, so that's like, to me, this dude is frustrated with the political system. And there's a lot of people, again, people that span all races and creeds that feel that way. And to me, when this type of thing just gets immediately shoved into this, like, untouchable conservative thing, where now it's like, all of these good points can't be acknowledged. All of these good points can't be examined because this guy, I mean, it's honestly, it's like his look, the things he's talking about. If it was a rapper with rap lyrics and not someone talking about, you know, working class people wearing Carhartts and fucking Romeos, I think this would be, it'd be universally beloved, as it should be, by the way. To me, this song is, there's so much to agree with. And on both sides, they do this, by the way. That's what's frustrating. It's like, obviously, very obviously, this is not just a conservative or a liberal problem. It happens with everything where stuff gets turned into this politicized bullshit. And this is, by the way, like, very obviously political in its nature because it's talking about the government. By the way, if you don't know, I didn't mention this earlier. Also, I'm going to call this episode Poor Man North of Portland. And I was hesitant because I'm not poor, but I feel like I am a poor man with this fucking child losing her mind throughout this podcast. So, and partially me losing my mind, by the way. Anyway, it's just a disappointment. It's a complete disconnect from what people want. I'm almost hesitant to put this episode out because I just don't think this song is controversial. I don't think it's very controversial. The Jason Aldean one, I didn't find the lyrics very controversial. The video, I understand why people were mad at the video. But again, I don't even know if that's like a good move for CMT, if I'm CMT, if that's a good move. I mean, imagine like what would be an equivalent thing? I mean, I guess it would be like if MTV pulled down a video because it showed January 6th loot or whatever rioting. Oh, my phone is all right. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. My wife is calling.